Welcome back to another episode of GivePod, Greater Vancouver's premier business podcast, where we delve into the challenges and opportunities facing our region. I'm your host, Bridget Anderson, President and CEO of the Greater Vancouver Board of Trade. In our ongoing series on the future of work and mental health in the workplace, we've covered some groundbreaking ideas. Notably, we hosted Dr. Alex Pong, Program Director of 4-Day Workweek Global, who shared his insights on the benefits of working less to achieve more, along with strategies for implementing such initiatives. That episode provided a fantastic theoretical foundation, and I highly recommend giving it a listen if you haven't already. Yet, we all know that theory is just one side of the coin. It is the practical application that truly tests an idea's viability. And there's nothing quite like a local example to see how big ideas can be implemented in the local context. So with us today is Rory McGuire, president of Blackbird Interactive, a creative-fueled, future-driven, independent studio behind such games as Hardspace Shipbreaker and the highly anticipated Homeworld 3 and Minecraft Legends. Blackbird made a bold move by transitioning to a 4-day workweek a couple of years ago, maintaining the same salaries, daily working hours, and a hybrid work environment. And according to their vice president, the shift has been a wild success, their story garnering attention from outlets like the Vancouver Sun to the Washington Post. And so today we get to hear about it firsthand from Rory. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, very excited to talk about this. This has been something that's been really near and dear to our hearts over the last couple of years, and something I'm excited we've got to pave the way for other game companies and just other companies in Vancouver, really.
Well, let's talk first about your motivation. You know, what was behind the move to go to a 4-day work week? I already think of these creative environments, having worked in one years ago myself. It's kind of loosey-goosey anyway. You've got pool tables and basketball hoops and beanbag chairs and all that kind of stuff. And it seems like it's a pretty good work environment, one that drives people pretty hard because those deadlines, are kind of the fuel of all of it. So what really motivated you to go to a 4-day work week?
Yeah, it was really driven by us wanting to provide for our employees just the best place to work. One of the goals we set out was to be one of the best game studios in Vancouver or Canada. And we actually engaged with our staff and asked them what are benefits that we could offer you to align us with that, specifically with, we wanted to help with retention. We wanted to help with recruiting. We wanted to track the best staff. And so it was actually born out of an employee suggestion. We hit up our senior staff and asked them, what are the things that would motivate you? And, we got things like, I'd love a dog walker that, help me with walking my dog, or somebody to do laundry, if I could bring laundry in. And then one person mentioned the 4-day work week in the meeting, and immediately all other suggestions stopped. Everyone was excited about the 4-day work week. And then something happened in that meeting that I've actually not seen in about 20 years of working in an office. As we left that meeting, and I probably got 5 or 6 messages from people that were not in that meeting messaging me about the 4-day work week and basically saying, if we did that, that would be a game changer for me. It would change my life. It would help us so much. So it was like literally what happened was the people left that meeting, talked to other people, and it like went viral at the studio, the fact that we were even talking about it. So to me, that was a real big indicator that it would move the needle and it would really provide a lot for our staff.
And I can see that from the employee perspective because, well, honestly, who doesn't want to work less days? There's people's lives are very busy and people with families and pets and all kinds of other responsibilities, and you want to have that work-life balance. Talk to us about the implementation, because I can't imagine that, the following Monday, you automatically went, okay, we're on a 4-day work week, everyone.
Yeah, it was, I could talk about this for hours. There was a lot of stuff that goes into a transition like this. I'll kind of hit some of the big stuff. One was we wanted to do a test. So we didn't want to just flip the switch and have, 300 plus employees swap over to it and then just have a train wreck on our hands of problems. So what we did was we chose 2 projects, one that was fairly early in its development cycle and then one that was finally, one that was quite late. They were both independent projects, so they were owned by us. And so if we messed it up, we were the only people responsible. We didn't have to get buy-in for partners on it. And so we did a 6-month trial to just kind of shake out how it went. And the results were just stellar. Basically, every metric that we could measure, whether it was employee satisfaction or the amount of lines of code going in or the amount of bugs fixed, all of that was in every single metric we measured, it was at least the same as a 5-day work week, if not higher. And in the case of things like employee satisfaction and things, obviously that was dramatically higher. So yeah, that was the first thing, was trying it out. The second thing was rolling it out. Once we knew that it worked, we had a whole bunch of things that we had to do. So one was, we're an independent game company. So we work with partners like Microsoft. We work with partners like Gearbox. We work on Homeworld. We work with just a whole deluge of various partners. We had to talk to each one of them. So we had five independent partners that we had to convince that by doing 20% less work, they would still get 100% of the product that we promised them. So that was a little challenging. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking through how this works. So did you then transition to 4 days at 12 hours a day, or was it still, you know, the 8, 9, 10 hours? And I know it's different in a creative environment because you're really working on a project deadline more than the hours that you're putting in.
Yeah. So this was also one of the things we had to resolve, was do we want to do 10 days, 4 days a week, or do we want to do 10 hours, 4 days a week, or do we want to do 8 hours across 4 days a week? So that was something that we discussed, and ultimately where we netted out was we want our staff working 32 hours a week, but we also have commitments to our partners, to our projects, to our milestones. So our statement to the staff was, you have to hit the same deliverables that you had before. The goal is do it in 32 hours. If you can get there, then work 32 hours. That's all we ask from you. So some staff, we found the average hours worked after about a year was about around 35 hours. And that's across 4 days. But of course, when you know a project is finaling, people work longer hours. We really put it on our staff that because we're an independent company, they needed to earn it, right? There was no financial backers or anything like that.
One of the concerns that I've heard from business leaders is around productivity. This country does have a significant problem when it comes to productivity. And there are concerns that if there was a move wholesale to a 4-day work week, we would continue to see that decline in productivity. What has been your experience in looking at your own staff as you made this move?
Yeah, so our measurements that we've taken of it, and we've taken real hard measurements, and we also did them blind. We didn't tell the staff that we were taking these measurements, so they couldn't fake them, essentially. Was that every metric that we've looked at, we were the same or higher in productivity scores within, you know, plus or minus 3%. So, you know, variable sample size. So that's the raw data of it. What I think is happening in it, because immediately when you say that, people are like, well, how does that work? That's BS, right? When you work in software or games or media or, you know, in most office environments, we're not on an assembly line. We're not making doohickeys, right? So, you know, if we were, the downtime from the assembly line being down would be minus 20%. But we're not. We're creative people. We're technical people. And what I think happens is it's very similar to what we see if you do a 6-day work week, which for, you know, 30 plus years as business leaders, we've known that when you swap to a 6-day work week, when you crunch, as we call it in games, when you push your people to work on weekends, you see about a 20% uptick for about 2 weeks. That's what the math of it is. And then after that period, you see a minus 20% downtick from your baseline indefinitely, basically as long as you do it. And the theory behind that is that people burn out, that people aren't fit to work 6 days a week on complicated technical or creative problems. Long story long, what I think is happening with a 4-day work week is it's the opposite effect, which is that people come into work more rested. They have more time to spend with their family. They have more time to solve life problems. They have more time to like do laundry and be thinking about things that aren't work so that they can actually think about work. Many technical and creative people will tell you their greatest breakthroughs happen when they're not thinking about work, when they're not thinking about the problem. So I think what's happening is people come back hungry. They come back excited. Think about when you come back on a Monday after a 3-day work week, or on a Tuesday after a 3-day weekend. You know, that fire that you have in your belly, we think people have that every week. And they really push themselves in the time that we have to keep that longer weekend as well, because they know as an independent company, we have to earn it.
Have you had to evolve or change your strategy as you went from that pilot phase to the implementation phase to where you are now?
A little bit. I mean, we've had some contracts come through that were the idea of us doing a 4-day work week was challenging. Namely, it was like support and uptime specialization, but we've managed to work through it. We actually haven't had to compromise the 4-day work week aside from the occasional push for a milestone or a game finaling, which is fairly normal for the industry and one that we set out understanding we would do. But I would say we actually haven't had to compromise there. You know, that said, we're still the odd company out in that if we're bidding on a contract or something, people are like, don't you run a 4-day work week? And we'll say yes. And they'll go, interesting.
And interesting is one of those loaded words. Is that positive or is it negative?
Totally. So yeah, we have to sell ourselves in ways beyond that. Though honestly, most companies, when we talk to them and we say that, they actually want to hear the details of it and want us to pitch their management and things like that.
Yeah, I bet. But how do you ensure to these companies that you are going to meet the deadlines that you've set out and agreed to, given that everybody's working one day less than the competitor?
So, you know, where we are now, we've shipped multiple games, multiple high quality, high fidelity games using a 4-day work week. So it's a little easier for us to make the argument. I will say what we did when we started out was, you know, again, we had partners ranging from the $3 trillion size Microsoft all the way down to, you know, a partner in Korea named Smilegate, a partner in France named Focus. So disparate countries, all with different work ethics as well, right? The American work ethic versus Korean or French. So it was a challenging conversation for us. And what we did was first we floated the idea, like our partners in France were immediately like, that is great. We are so happy for your workforce. You know, please.
Yeah, the French have got a good work ethic, don't they?
Yeah. On they've the balance. They've got a much more relaxed work ethic. But, you know, across the board, many of our partners had questions or they had concerns, and rightfully so, right? Like we're working on contracts for projects that are, you know, north of $30 million. So no publicly traded company wants that $30 million investment to be at risk, especially if you're halfway through it, right? So I think the key thing that we did was we made a promise that we would measure all of our metrics. So we took all of our data and we made a promise that if we were not tracking to our data, that we would add staff to that project to compensate for the lack of productivity, but maintain the 4-day work week. So for example, we basically said, if we have 100 people on your project and we miss our productivity by 20% because we implemented this, which is a worst case scenario, we'll add 20 people to the project and we'll pay for it out of pocket. But to get there, we had to show the data and we had to monitor the data and we had to miss our milestones and things like that. And to the last, every partner basically said, okay, if you're willing to back up your play to that way, like you'll pay for it out of pocket if you screw this up, then we'll back you guys up.
So when it comes to data, what kinds of things do you measure that are really meaningful?
So, you know, I think if you look at any one piece of data, you can debunk it. You know, you can say, well, okay, the amount of Jira, you know, our bug fixing software, the amount of Jira bugs closed, well, you could game that this way, or, you know, you're getting a false read on that data. So what we tried to do was just pull as much data as we could. Basically, we brainstormed different metrics that we could measure that as long as we were seeing a general similar trend in the data, we felt like it didn't, you could debunk one thing like Jira commits and it wouldn't matter because we had so many other data points that indicated it. So we track things like Jira tasks created and closed, which is kind of a key metric that you use in games development, you know, basically velocity, essentially. We also track things like the amount of commits that happen. So that's just kind of a raw blanket, like the amount of times a developer committed something to the software. Now, that might be a 2-week body of work or it might be a 2-minute bug fix, but it's a metric. We also tracked like codes of line or lines of code. We tracked new assets created. We basically just tracked as many different data points as we could. And what we generally saw was it was about the same. And in some cases, a little bit higher again, plus or minus about 3%. And then the other metrics we tracked were, we did an immense amount of employee data mining. And by that, I mean, like we pulled them again and again and again while we were implementing this process. So for example, we did two cohorts. So we did it by project. We actually did it by project and we did it by discipline. So artists, designers, programmers, and we asked them things like about their work-life balance, about their happiness outside of the workplace, basically about 20 to 30 different questions about it. But we also separated into development team, which is typically more staff or junior level folks, and management. So people that were managing these projects. what we saw happen was at the very beginning of us doing this, everyone, you know, generally was positive about it, but management was like, I'm not sure we're going to make our commitments. I'm not sure we're going to pull this off. And as each team would roll over to it, we could see the data change with management, where when we did our first test, we had 50 people that we were getting this data from. And at first it was about 70% of the people thought that a 4-day work week could work. But by the end of our first tranche of data, 6 months, we actually had 100% of the employees, including all the managers, felt that they could achieve it.
So I guess from the manager's perspective, they were looking back and it was building confidence and trust along the way. That data was backing up that they were moving in the right direction, they're meeting commitments. And so seeing that things are moving along really well.
Yeah, exactly. They were feeling like they weren't going to be left holding the bag for a team that missed their targets.
Yeah, that's never a good feeling. You know, Rory, when you look back over the last couple of years, would you have done anything differently? Like trying to think of some of those lessons learned for any of those organizations who are listening now and thinking about implementing a 4-day work week.
I think, you know, one of the big things is the amount of logistics that actually went into it. For us, there was a bunch of things we didn't realize. So for example, in British Columbia, where we're based out of, we had to update all of our employee contracts, which meant, because implicit in most employee contracts is that you work a 40-hour work week. So we actually had to redo all of our employee contracts, deploy all of them, have 300 people sign them, and turn all of that around within, because we didn't realize it until we were down to the wire about to flip the switch. And our legal counsel was like, this is a giant problem. You're in violation of your
catch
with your employees. So there's, I think the thing to do would be, I think most people think it's going to be a tipping point culturally, which it is. You need to convince your management that this can work. But I also think that there's more work there than what people realize to actually implement it and roll it out. And the other thing I think to do is put it to the employees to earn it. I think it's a little tougher if you're a big, like financially backed, publicly traded company. If your market cap is in the hundreds of millions or billions. What we did was we essentially told our employees that you have to keep your targets, you have to hit your deliverables, or we have to pull it away, because if we lose these contracts as a business, we'll be done. So I think if you put it to the employees that way, then everyone's earning it and everyone's trying to optimize their time. So what we saw was, as managers, it didn't go top down that people would try to clean up everyone's meetings. It's employees would go bottom up and say, hey, I'm trying to do a 32-hour work week. I don't want to be in this meeting. Or this meeting is just a big information meeting. I'll watch the recording. Or I'm gonna optimize my time in this way or that way. Or let's see if we can combine these two meetings. So we actually had every employee in the building trying to make it work, as opposed to management trying to hit certain targets.
And it sounds like you're empowering your employees, which goes a long way for not just attracting new talent, but also retaining the talent that you have.
Yeah, that's right. And that's really been one of our cultural ethos at the studios. We try to push as much power in the organization down to the staff.
How important was that phased approach that you took?
I think it's really important. I would not roll it out across your studio, because I think, you know, like any management tool, whether it's, you know, agile development practices or how you handle your vacation time, whether it's unlimited vacation or, you know, fixed vacation, I think, you know, there's no silver bullets for every company, and culturally your company might be wired in a way that you run into some issues that you need to fix with this, or your business might be wired in a way where you have external partners that are counting on a certain amount of uptime from you and you run into problems that we didn't run into. So I think the phased approach is important. I do think it'll work for many software developers, games, and media companies, but you'll run into issues that are native to your organization.
Yeah, given your experience and perspective, I mean, you working in the creative field and creative and tech, probably a lot of similarities, but do you think this 4-day work week would be applicable across multiple industries and sectors?
I definitely think software and technology companies for sure. I think games companies, media companies for sure. I think many office-based environments for sure. I think if you are a company that is reliant on uptime, you know, if you're a call center, obviously that's going to be challenging. If you're certainly a factory. I don't know if there's many folks running a factory here, but you know, if you're providing a service that requires time up, I think it's a bit more challenging. We're fortunately in an industry where if you get your work done in 32 hours, it doesn't matter if you're here on Friday.
And what about any words of caution to those business leaders thinking about implementing this?
We were always very careful about not getting people too excited about it. So you know, when we rolled it out, we very much so were like, this is a trial. We may or may not do this. And I will say the meeting we rolled it out and people were losing their minds. Like stuff was literally being thrown up in the air. Like people were just crazy about the idea immediately.
And I guess.
Yeah. So we tried to set expectations all along the way until we finally flipped the switch. And then even then we always said, hey, we may run into a business scenario where we have to swap back and that's that. And we've always kind of set the expectation that we have to earn it. So I think that's the biggest, words of warning, because I do think it is still avant-garde enough that you might run into some problems and or you know have a team that needs to be working 5 days a week or whatever it might be.
Yeah, it's clear. I mean, you're a couple of years in now. It's clear, as it said in the newspaper article, it's been a wild success, but some really great lessons here, I think, around phased approach and communication and data. But it does seem maybe a last thought from you where, you know, if you're to take your crystal ball out and take a look at where things are heading, you know, over the last few years, we've come out of the pandemic, people were working at home for the first time ever. Now we're in this hybrid work environment. Where do you see this idea of a reduced work week going?
So I think it's interesting in that, I mean, when we rolled out the 4-day work week, I think it was more of an employee's market. The market we're in now, I think, is a bit more of an employer's market with just what we've seen with global macroeconomics and trends with inflation, et cetera, won't dive into all the details of it. But I do think the idea of doing this for your employees is an unfair advantage that a company can have, regardless of whether it's an employee's market or an employer's market. It lets you recruit the best talent. It lets you retain your top talent. And I think what we will see happen as time goes on is enough companies will start to do it, or enough organizations will start to do it, that it kind of just becomes normal. And we'll just see a nice, soft, organic trend towards this over time, because I believe, especially in our industry and a few neighboring industries, it is not as dramatic a shift in how you work and as what people might think. Because I think right now when I say, I'm sure at the beginning of this call, when I said our productivity is the same, there were more than a few eyes that rolled from people. But once you see it yourself, and you know, like our CFO saw the numbers and was like, I can't believe this is happening. So once you see it, you believe it. And I think as we just see more and more companies experience it and employees from those companies move to other companies and implement it or do startups that implement it, I think we'll just see a natural trend over the next 10 years towards it.
Yeah. And Vancouver is a very, very costly jurisdiction. And one of the biggest challenges to attracting and retaining talent is around cost. And this, as you say, is a competitive advantage for organizations. And I think it also is a great retention tool. Rory Maguire, you might have me almost convinced. And it really, I think most industries and sectors could probably learn a lot of lessons from what your experience has been. So thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. And I'm happy for any companies or any leaders in companies that are looking to roll this out to reach out to me or reach out to Blackbird. And we're happy to share our experiences doing it.